The book of Romans chapter 8, and Romans chapter 8 is probably my favorite chapter. I got several favorite chapters, but Romans 8, of course, is one of them. I think that if you're here tonight and you're a good Baptist, that you should have an understanding of Romans 8. Romans 8 is one of the greatest texts in the Scriptures. And I'm not going to be able to do it all, naturally, but I'm going to go down to some of it this evening. Romans chapter 8, okay? Now, verse 1 says, Romans 8 and verse 1 says this, there is therefore now no condemnation. Now, let's just stop here just for a second and think of the term condemnation. What is condemnation? Condemnation is a damnatory sentence. Those who are sinner folk, those who have never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're living under a damnatory sentence. And you never know when someone's going to die. You never know when Jesus is going to come. So you're just one blip away from going into eternity. So it's very important that you know for certain that you've been born again, because without Jesus, you'll be living under a damnatory sentence, and you don't want to die there. We want you to have eternal life. We want you to have everlasting, eternal life. And that's why we preach about no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There's no damnatory sentence to those who know Christ Jesus. And that's the reason why, if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you need to be set free from your sin curse. Those that have never trusted Jesus as Savior are under a damnatory sentence. And the most important thing is to be set free from the bondage of that sin curse or that sin death. I don't know how many people over the years that I've witnessed to about this particular thing, but not knowing for sure that you have everlasting life, if you're not sure about that, that's something that you really have to do something about it, and you should do something about it this very day if you're not sure. I imagine that everybody in the congregation here tonight is saved. I imagine that. I would hope so. I think most everybody here tonight is saved. But if there's any inkling in your heart that whether you are or not, you need to know that for sure. Now, that's something that you just can't, you can't let go by. You got to know that you've been born again. So he said, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation is a damnatory sentence. It's a damnatory sentence. And we were under a damnatory sentence before we were born again. Now, when we was born again, he set us free from that damnatory sentence. Now I'm free. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. So I've been set free from condemnation. And if you're here tonight and you've trusted Jesus, you've been set free from condemnation. When you go out to your jobs or when you go out to school or you talk to people that you know, you need to deal with this subject of condemnation, because that's the problem. People think everybody's good, but they're not. You can have a good neighbor, You can have a good friend. You can have people that would help you do anything you want them to help you do. And they're good neighbors and all these kinds of things. But that's not what saves you. You got to be set free from the bondage of your sin curse or from your sin debt. So there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No, I don't have a. If I would die today, there's no damnatory sentence waiting on me, because Jesus paid it all. He didn't pay it half. All God's people said. What happens to our condemnation? Well, Jesus paid it. It was a damnatory sentence. Jesus paid it. And the gospel message is what releases you. The gospel message releases you from that damnatory sentence. Isn't that a great thing to know that your sentence has been paid for? It's a sentence that's paid for, but it's a sentence that's paid for in full. So my condemnation's already been taken care of. And who took care of my condemnation was Jesus. All God's people said, He paid my price, and He paid that thing in total full. That's what He did. Okay? Now let's read on. Now it says there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Everybody know what I'm talking about. I've preached on, Romans 8. I love Romans 8 anyhow. But notice what else it says. It says that who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They don't walk after the what? They don't walk after the flesh, but they walk after the what? Yeah, that's the Holy Spirit. They follow the Spirit. That's what the idea of is in the text. They don't walk after the flesh. They walk after the Spirit. And that's pretty much what you see about the children of God in the Scriptures. That's what you see them doing. They seek to follow the Lord. That's what they seek to do. Now that you've been born again, we seek to live sober, righteous, and godly in this world. We do that. Not to get saved, but because we are. And we want to represent God well. Beloved, you want what you want where you work at, where you go to school at, where you live at. What you want is people should be able to tell you're a Christian by how you act and where you go and how you speak and how you don't speak. People should be able to tell that. And I think it's important that God's people would display that. Not for their own good, but because they represent Jesus. I want to represent Him in a good way. I want it to be in such a where they will know, they should know that you're a Christian. And I think that's important for God's people to display that. Not for your own, things or whatever, but it's so that people would know that you've been born again. Let me say one more thing here, since we're talking about condemnation and no condemnation to those that are in Christ, no damnatory sentence. I think another thing that's important is that we walk after the Spirit. We seek to live sober, righteous, and godly in this present world. But we seek to live pleasing to the Lord. And that's one of the things that we should seek to do. We want to please Him. Let me ask you, do you want to please Him? Wouldn't you just dearly love to say or for the Master to say one day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, I wouldn't want that for bragging purposes, would you? We do that because we love Him. And we seek to serve Him and we seek to please Him. And what motivates this? What motivates this is your love for Him. Your motivation is your love for Him. So we seek to please Him because we love Him, all God's people say it. And that's something that we all of us must have as a church together, all of us together. We must have that. We must have that love for the Master, love for His work, love for His worship, love for His people. And that keeps us what? Close. Keeps us close. Okay? All right, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, the law of the Spirit of life, I think it speaks of the gospel. I think that's what it speaks of. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Free from what? Free from the law of sin and death. Free from the law of sin and death. So He set me free from the law. We sing it in church. Free from the law, happy condition. Jesus has bled and there is remission. So He's paid all that. Jesus paid all that was needed in order to save us from our sins. And that's why Romans 8 is here and why it's such a great text. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, now watch this now, has made me free from the law of sin and death. So let's stop here just for a moment. What's the law of sin and death? I'm asking. I'm going to make you run laps if you don't know. What's the law of sin and death? What is the law of sin and death? Right there. That's the Ten Commandments. Can the Ten Commandments save you? No. It was never intended to be a means of salvation. Never was. The purpose of it is to show you that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. That's what the commandments is for. It shows you what you are. You are a sinner, so guess what you need? You need a Savior. And who is that? That's Jesus. He's the only one that can pay it. He's the only one can pay it. He's the only one that can pay it in full. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is the gospel. And the gospel is what made us free. Made us what? Free from the law of sin and death. He set us free. I'm free right now. I am free. Think about it. Been set free from the bondage of my sin debt. He removed my curse as far as the east is from the west. What a great salvation that we have. So I'm free. There's a lot of people that seem to still live in bondage. God doesn't want you to live in bondage. When you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, He set you what? That's why the Scripture says, whom the Son sets free, they shall be free indeed. All God's people did. Free indeed. I'm free indeed. Are you free indeed? That's no doubt. I don't worry about hell at all because Jesus paid my debt. And I've been set free from the bondage of the debt of my sin. The Ten Commandments. Was I a breaker of the Ten Commandments? Was you a breaker of the Ten Commandments? Yes, everybody was. That's why we needed a what? We needed a Savior. And that was Jesus. Let's move on. All right, Romans 8, and let's move down to verse 3. I'm going to just go to 11, I think, because I love Romans 8. It's one of my favorite chapters. If I stuck on a desert island, I'd want Romans 8. That's what I would want. I love the book of Romans and the chapter 8. It's deeper. It shows you what God has done for us. And my, what a blessing it indeed is. All right, verse 3. For what the law could not do. Now let's stop one more time. What can't the law do? Somebody tell me. Can't save you. Now there's a lot of people think it can. All the works for salvation, people, that's what they use that for. That's a dangerous place to live. You'll never make it that way. The law cannot save you. What's the only thing that can save you? Jesus is the only thing that can save you. His sacrificial, substitutionary death on Calvary is the only thing that can save you from your sin. For what the law could not do, so the law can't save you. That's why we needed a what? A substitute. And that substitute was Jesus. And that was what the problem was with a lot of the Jews. They sought to save themselves by the commandments. That was their problem. They didn't trust in Jesus. They trusted in the commandments. That's what they trusted in. And put their hope in that. The Pharisees, that's what they trusted in. Can't get there that way. You never make it any other way. The law, see where it says, verse 3? The law could not do. What couldn't it do? It says it's weak through the flesh. What's it mean it's weak through the flesh? You can't keep it. You can't hold up under it. Weak through the flesh. Now notice what? Oh, my, verse 3. Are you ready? God sent him. What did God do in order to save us? What did God have to do to save us? God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. He put it away. And he paid your debt in full. And now we have been set free from the law of sin and death. And who paid it for us? Who paid the price for us again? Jesus paid it. And he paid it in full. Tetelestai. Paid. Paid in full. Not paid in half. Paid in full. That's what he did. What the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for, why did he send him? And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Who did it? God did. God did. And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. And he paid the debt in full. Verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the... They don't walk after what? They don't walk after the flesh. What else do they... What do they walk by? That's the Holy Spirit. They follow the Holy Spirit. They follow the Holy Spirit. We seek to live sober, righteous, and godly in this present world. Beloved, when the Lord saves an old condemned sinner, there'll be a change of conduct in their life. That's why the Scripture says, old things pass away, all things become new. And I say it's way too much, but I worry about people that's not new. It bothers me. I worry about people that's not new. They're not new. I just wonder what's wrong. I know people can drift. Y'all believe somebody can drift? I mean, sometimes sheep do drift. But I worry about folk. I worry about folks sometimes that drift in such a way that sin don't bother them. I don't know how many people I've seen in my lifespan, but in my ministry, 40 years of ministry. I don't know how many people I've seen that have made a profession of faith in the things of the Lord and made it clear. I thought I made it clear as it could be. Showed them what the gospel is and how to receive the gospel and these different things that we look at when we witness to somebody. But I've seen a lot of people make professions only to turn right around and go back in the opposite direction that they went out before. And I would have to say, with regard to someone like that, I don't know sometimes what's going on with people. I mean, what are you thinking? I mean, what are you thinking? I mean, if you're a dad or you're a mom or you got children and man, they should be able to look at their parents and they should be able to see Jesus in them. See, that's what you want to see in your children. You want them to not only say they believe, but you want to see a change in their conduct too. I look for changes in people. Say it all the time. I look for changes in people. And if there's no change, I just don't know what's wrong. You know, I do know what's wrong. You know what's wrong? Sometimes it's dead. Scripture says faith without works is what? It's dead. It's dead. It's what it says. I'm telling you, when it's a true, from the heart profession in Jesus Christ, it'll produce fruit. All God's people say it. It'll produce them. But if it ain't, I wonder about that kind of stuff. All right, I got to get rolling. All right, let's move down to verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Now see, the law is, of course, the Ten Commandments, like we talk about all the time. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Beloved, God gives us His what? What does God give us in salvation? He gives you His righteousness. And that's 100%. I wish people would stand for that a little bit better. You think? Should be stood for a whole lot. Now, this is a great thing. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. We walk after the Spirit. The way our walk should be spiritual. God's people should be spiritual in their conduct and in how they live and so on. I think it's important that God's people do that. There's a lot of people that claim salvation, but boy, you couldn't tell it from their walk. I'm telling you, you couldn't tell it from the walk. I just can't. And I don't know a heart either. I can't look in there and see, you know. But man, if it doesn't change, something ain't right. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. What do we walk after? What's it say we walk after here in verse 4? What do we walk after? We walk after the Spirit. That's what we walk after. We walk after the Holy Spirit. And that changes the way you do, and it changes the way that you live. Okay? All right, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh, Do mind the things of the flesh. Can you tell the difference between someone that's born again and someone that's walking after the flesh? Can you see the difference in the two? Yeah, I can. I can see it easy. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the what? flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, what do they mind? The things of the Spirit. We seek to follow His Word. We seek to do that. We seek to live sober, righteous, and godly. We're doing that to keep saved. Nope. We're doing that because we are saved. A lot of difference between that. Because they are saved. All right, verse 6. Romans 8 is a great text, but I'm going to dog it off here in just a little bit. Maybe at 9, I'm going to go down to verse 11. I'm going to try to do that, okay? All right, let's read on. For to be carnally minded is to be earthly minded. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What kind of mind do you got? Do you have a carnal mind? Or do you have a spiritual mind? What kind of mind you got? Is it carnal? Is it earthly? Is it worldly? Or is it spiritual? Or is it a spiritual mind? I want my mind to be spiritual. That's what I want. I want to have a spiritual mind. And when you work on a job, those people that you work with, they'll know whether you're spiritual or not by the way you conduct yourself. They'll know that one way or the other. The carnal mind is enmity or hate. The word enmity means hates. The carnal mind hates God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot do what? They cannot do what? You can't please God. So something has to happen for that to change this thing around then, doesn't it? Has to be a change here. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh. Now he's talking about those here in Romans 8 that are born again. But ye are not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwells, where at? Beloved, aren't you great? Isn't it great to know tonight that we have the Spirit of God dwelling in our hearts. And everywhere we go in this world, He's right there with us. And He never leaves us. And He never, never, never forsakes us. You're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. So that the Spirit of God dwells in who? He dwells in you. How long does He stay there? I'm asking. It's forever. You better hope it's forever. You wouldn't make it. You wouldn't make it without Him. You're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. If so be, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of His. And if the Holy Spirit is in somebody, you'll see evidence of the Holy Spirit being in somebody. There'll be evidence of the Holy Spirit in a person that's been born again. It'll be a change. It's a big change. I remember when I was probably in the... My worst time probably was I was in the ninth grade. I got more trouble than you could count in that time frame. Just went wild. It's the only thing I could tell. Just completely. My dad would have slapped my lips off if he knew all the stuff that I did. It was awful. just one bad thing, one bad thing, one bad thing after another, all the time. Well, God changed it. The hardest thing that I had to deal with was I truly saved when I was 9? Or did I truly get saved later on after all that? Sometimes it's hard to tell, isn't it? But you know what you go by? I know I'm saved now. All God's people say it. I know I'm saved now. And that's what I've trusted in. All right, just about done. If Christ be in you, your body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. When you trust Christ as your Savior, He gives you His what again? He gives you His righteousness. Now, verse 11 will be our last verse. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He shall, now get this now, He that raised up Christ from the dead, this is what I've been waiting for all night, this one last part of these two little sentences right here. Man, I love this right here. Christ from the dead shall also quicken, what's quicken mean? Made alive, that's what it means. He made us alive in a new birth. He will quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. He'll quicken your mortal body by the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, that dwells in you. All God's people say it. Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention. Hope you enjoyed that.